Overtime with Mac and Trey. This is our fifth episode. We're going to be talking about The Last Dance, episodes 9 and 10, the series finishing up. How you doing today, Trey?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a busy week, even though it's Wednesday. Busy week. So I'm happy to talk about The Last Dance and kind of ready to move on, believe it or not. But yeah, excited to dive into episodes 9 and 10.
No, I'm with you, and you know, for me, it's been a lot of mixed emotions. As you know, I love Michael Jordan growing up, but I'm also a huge LeBron James fan. And
there's been some news today.
As I am, it's been mixed emotions because I'm such a big LeBron fan, and it's frustrating. I mean, after LeBron makes it to the finals. I mean, not to take you all the way back to 2018, but I thought he was absolutely ripped off by the officials in Game 1. One of the worst calls, one of the most underrated bad calls ever, J.R. Smith. I mean, they wouldn't have won the series anyway, but I have a lot of animosity towards that, you know, the whole 3-6.
You sound like you sound like me and the Hugh Hollins in 1994.
And yeah, Scottie Pippen. It's ridiculous. Everyone always wants to reference J.R. Smith, but I've never seen an instance in an NBA game before or after where the officials went to the monitor and changed the foul call. Like, they just randomly just decided to change a foul call. Like, it was the NFL, and they were doing an instant replay review. And, I mean, but we'll save that for another time. But that was – and then LeBron goes to the Lakers and, you know, rough first season. And now fast forward 2020 – you know, everything's going amazing. Number one seed in the West. You know, they're on their way to the championship. And then out of nowhere, a friggin' pandemic hits. Like, out of nowhere.
Who would have thought? Out of nowhere. Yeah, who would have thought? Out of all the things.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, you couldn't even make it up. I mean, as a LeBron fan, everything's coming together. They beat Kawhi, finally, and the Clippers. They hand it to the Bucks on national TV. Everything's looking good. And then a pandemic comes. And then on top of that, they have a Jordan documentary. It's just dropped in our lap. And I grew up loving Michael Jordan, and you got to respect Michael Jordan, but it's been, you know, a month of just people taking pot shots at LeBron.
Do you agree? I know you heard the rumors, or I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if people are just speculating that Jordan okayed the release of the documentary because he felt threatened by LeBron's legacy. LeBron's tainting Jordan's legacy. Like, that would never happen, egos.
The timing was a little bizarre, so, I mean, I could see that a little bit. I mean,
he gave the okay in 2016, I think.
Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, not to take away from Jordan. Jordan.
Never. Can't do that.
One of a kind. I mean, he was just so far above everyone else. No one, we've talked about it throughout this. No one, there's never going to be another Michael Jordan, but I think LeBron is great in his own way. And,
but see,
yeah, I would never get irritated if somebody said Jordan is better than LeBron, but when they have a poll on ESPN comparing them and, you know, 59% of the people say Jordan's a better passer, I mean, it's just bullshit.
But a lot of people have – this documentary has been amazing because we have no sports right now, but also – so it's been good to fill that void, but it also has gotten just so many takes and so many – random people popping off at the mouth, like Horace Grant coming out of nowhere calling Jordan a snitch, and like saying like settle it, like, man, like what are you talking about, Horace Grant? Like,
Horace Grant, who's like, well, goes on and on about how him and Sam are so close. Like, Sam's such a great guy. Like, I don't know, it's just kind of weird to me how him and Sam Smith are that close. Like, why wouldn't you be called the snitch when you're best friend with Sam Smith? I mean, what? Like, if I was Jordan, I would take offense to that also.
you had that. Do you have, like, just people inserting themselves? We can get into that this later, but we can do it now. But like Paul Pierce, coming from the top ropes today with some LeBron slander.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm as guilty as it also, because I'm, you know, appreciate both LeBron and Jordan for who they are, and then sometimes I even get caught up in the conversation. But Paul Pierce today saying LeBron wasn't not a top five player. I mean, I just chalked that up to just bitterness that LeBron just beat him down enough, broke up the Celtics team. I mean, I don't really even see the argument for that. But even you know, and I'm sure I get a little sensitive to it, but even Michael Wilbon, you know, he seems to be getting on my bad side from time to time.
Well, but like with Paul Pierce, like I just feel like he's, I don't know, man. He just had like he has bad takes, and he just like people don't like his opinion. His opinions are trash. Even when he was doing the, I don't know if you watched it, Kobe Bryant, when they did the whole, I think when the Lakers' first home game back after he passed away, like just Paul Pierce is like talking on the set, and it's just like, dude, like it's he just, first of all, he's not good on TV, so they need to get rid of him. On ESPN, and it's just like his takes are just bad. Like, and then this whole LeBron not a top five player, who's ahead? To be frank, like I don't know the whole. I saw a little bit of it going on Twitter. Like, who was his top five players? Did he have a list?
I mean, he had Russell ahead of him, and you know, if you have Russell and Kareem, I don't even hate on that too much. Russell has 11 championships. He won 5 MVPs. So I mean, that's a heck of a resume. I personally think when you have to take into account that the game has evolved so much, and it's not the 1960s anymore.
But then again, LeBron, like the finals, NBA finals. I know he's been to so many, but that's a lot of people measure the success over what you win in the NBA finals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of the problem is that people sit there and they measure the, you know, just by the rings, which is not the best way to look at it. I mean, like Wilbon talking about, you know, we're struggling so much to find stuff to talk about that we're just talking about stuff that doesn't even need to get talked about. But they were talking about who would be a better teammate for Jordan, LeBron, or Pippen. And, you know, Wilbon came out Pippen and the disrespect that they're giving Pippen. I mean,
I feel like Pippen would be a better team. You know what? I don't know. That's an interesting question, actually.
I mean, LeBron is just such a better player than Scottie Pippen. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He is,
I mean,
but like LeBron, you gotta have some. But you gotta have somebody who you can't have two. They have to complement each other.
So I feel LeBron and Jordan would. I mean, I think Pippen was great. He was like one of the first point forwards. LeBron is pretty much just a better version of him. I mean,
yeah.
Even defensively, and I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but I think LeBron was every bit the defensive player, you know, young LeBron that Pippen was. And you know, twice as many rings. Well, it helps when you play with Jordan. I mean, they helped Magic Johnson when he came into the league and he played with arguably the greatest player of all time. It helped Kobe when he came in the league and he played with Shaq. Who did he play with?
You could also argue that a lot of people. Some people have argued that the Bulls, who they played in the finals, weren't the best competition at times. I feel like LeBron played against... So we don't want this to be the LeBron podcast, but he played against some tough competition. I mean, not like the Jazz and Sonics, like, they suck, but like, I don't know. I feel like there were a big difference in the way their teams were. Granted, it's a different game now than it was then.
Well, I mean, it's 30 years later. I mean, I feel like the talent's always going to improve 30 years later, but according to some people, like, the league hasn't improved. I mean, even when you're watching the Jazz series, I mean, Jeff Hornacek, really good player, but when you're wing defenders, it's Jeff Hornacek and Byron Russell matching up against Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. I mean, it's laughable. And, you know, Jordan, as great as Jordan was, he did always have the best team. I mean, Pippen was better than the number two player on the other team. You know, he had a lot of other tremendous, you know, even Hall of Fame role players. I mean, it wasn't like Jordan was taking teams that had no business winning and winning with them. Jordan won when he's got the best team around him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not to take away from if there's some knocks against LeBron. Jordan never really failed in the big spot. He always came through where LeBron has shown, you know, some flaws, whether it's the 2011 series versus the Mavericks. That's certainly a knock against him. But, I just think some of the commentary has been a little over the top. I mean, I got to listen to Jalen Rose talk about how LeBron hasn't stopped anyone from winning championships. I mean, he stopped Steph Curry from winning a championship, and then Kevin Durant went and joined up. I mean, literally the second and third best players in the NBA joined together on a team to beat LeBron. But LeBron hasn't stopped anyone from winning championships. I mean, so I think you have to factor in the competition. You have to look at everything more than just a finals record. So
agreed.
So that was that. So mixed emotions, but you know, not to take anything away from Jordan. It's given me something to watch every Sunday night. And
did crazy ratings. It was, saw today, oh, yeah? The ratings were the highest for a ESPN program, original program, I believe, since 2004 or 6, whenever the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 came out. Apparently, that was the highest, and this has been like just crazy ratings. So, get that ad money, I guess.
Yeah, no, and it's been great getting to so much of the behind the scenes stuff with Jordan. Even the most recent episodes after he won the championship, he's playing the piano. You know, you're with him with the security guards. It's been great to watch that aspect of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so go, speaking of the security guards, I have the. Y'all can't see this, but I have the Sniff Brothers shirt on. You can see it now, kind of.
Classic.
Sniff Brothers, shout out to Michael Wozniak. Rest in peace.
Yeah, Michael Wozniak.
And, yeah, and they, dude, he was awesome. And then they had the whole feature. I think it was in episode 9 about with Gus. He passed away from cancer a couple years after 98, I think. Maybe it was like 2000, I think. But, yeah, it was just...
It was cool
to see, like, it's weird because Jordan had all like a complicated relationship with his teammates, I felt like, but he like befriended these dudes who were like ex-cops and security guards and stuff, and it was cool to see those relationships from the behind the scenes of shots and stuff focusing on them. That was something that we all, none of us knew about. So it was good to see that aspect of it.
Exactly. It was something we never knew about, and I think it was smart on Jordan's part, and he even says it, to put you know, older people around him. You know, older, wiser, you know, some wise guys, you know.
Yeah, like Gus was like a father figure for him, cuz his dad passed away in 93 and stuff, and yeah, no, that's something that, like, even like me, like, I can relate to. Like, my dad passed away four years ago in this August. So it sucks. You don't have like that father figure. So like I could personally relate to that. That was nice to see.
Definitely.
So you want to dive more into episode 9?
You know, before, it's a lot of different series. They focus a lot on the Bulls Pacers and obviously the two finals versus the Jazz. But to me, once again, one of the underlining things that comes through here is just Jordan the competitor. And that's what, you know, one of the things that separated him from everyone else. You know, when they were playing the Pacers, it was personal. When he was playing against the Jazz, he was pissed that Karl Malone, you know, had won that MVP. That became personal. I thought that
also things were made up in his head too.
yeah, exactly. And even the Byron Russell story, I love that, how he had come by a practice and he's talking about how, you know, he could guard him. And even Stockton pretty much says, if he didn't make that up, he would have found something else to make up.
Yeah, even like, I don't know if you mentioned this, even like the Sonics, when George Karl like didn't say hi to him at the restaurant. And
yeah,
that was... He used that for motivation. It's just amazing, just from a competitive standpoint. I don't know. Yeah, he's wired differently. I feel like only another person that I know currently who's wired like that is Kobe Bryant. Maybe Tiger Woods in a different
sport. Yeah, I was going to say Tiger Woods. I was going to say that. And then it's like that, and then the fact that this is something that like I try to do in my life, and it's something I really work on, staying in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
You're just staying in the moment. And that was something one of the guys on the documentary said, that was his greatest strength, not his, you know, athleticism, not all his skills. It was just the fact that he just had that singular focus where he was staying in the moment. And he really, you know, back to LeBron again, but you do get the sense that LeBron is the type of guy, he cares what people think, which can be a strength and a weakness. Jordan just didn't give a shit what people thought. And I think that's one of the things that helped him, you know, with that singular focus. He was just focused on what he had to do, and he didn't really care about what anyone else had to say about it.
Yeah. And it was interesting going into they're talking about that Pacers series, which was crazy. And I think I mentioned it our last episode, I remember that series. It was like stressful as a Bulls fan and a Jordan fan, and they pushed him to 7 games. And that relationship between Jordan and Miller, I knew they'd gotten in a fight before. One of them tried to choke the other in the fight they got into. So that and so they had like a, but they also were slapping each other up after the game, like behind, like in the, outside the locker room. So they kind of had a respect for each other. And like, Reggie Miller always sounds like a douchebag, but I actually really like Reggie Miller as a player. Like how he embarrassed the Knicks. So that was, and Spike Lee. So I appreciate that. But that game three, there's two things that stuck out to me when they were going over to like all games 1, 2, 3, the whole series. That game three game, Pacers 107-105, the crazy lady who looked like Willow Storm, who was just like going nuts. Apparently there's an article about her that I need to read about it. And it's the woman that's just like yelling, this random white woman yelling on the sideline. Yeah. And and then the game four that the Pacers won 96-94 when Miller hit that shot. Miller clearly fouled Michael Jordan. He pushed off. That would be a foul in today's NBA. He when he came around the screen, he gave a little shove to freed him up and he hit that three. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And you hear Reggie's commentary on it where he knew the officials weren't going to make the call. But, I mean, let's be honest. There's one thing to nudge a guy. There's one thing to do the Jordan on Byron Russell. But he just comes out and pushes him right in the chest. So, I mean, the refs blew that one.
Yeah, people were on Twitter talking about that, the Byron Russell push. That's always been a thing. But like Jordan said, the guy was already running to his left. Going to his left. He just like Costas said, just like a maitre d' said, here's your table. Like I don't like Bob Costas, but that was like a perfect analysis there.
Yeah, they show they show one angle where it looks like he barely even touches him from that point of view. So, but the Pacers Bulls great series. The only time they ever were pushed to 7 games, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, it was a tough series, and they ended up playing the Jazz, and I know in 97, Karl Malone, fuck him, won the MVP. So there was a little animosity there from Jordan's end. And Jordan got the MVP back in 98. And there's those games, like game 4, that Stockton pass. Like I never like really, I mean, I respect John Stockton, but it's John Stockton. Nobody really, I mean, it's John Stockton, but that pass that he gave to, I think it was Karl Malone, from basically the free throw line to the other free throw line, that was crazy. Yeah. So yeah. It's like that's very, one very impressive. One
motion right on the money. Over
So that it was
absolutely.
It was fun reliving the Jazz series, and then also the famous, I don't know, infamous, but famous flu game. Or the food poisoning game was fun to revisit.
That was interesting. The whole I honestly really can't take anything Tim Grover says seriously. I have a thing with Tim Grover. Tim Grover asks for 6 reps in the weight room, and Jordan gives him 12. I mean, I just can't with Tim Grover. I mean, when 5 guys deliver the pizza, maybe you don't eat the pizza at that point. But I guess you're in Utah. Yeah,
don't eat the pizza. And you're in Utah. Utah is not known for their pizza. First of all, Utah is known. So I'm going to have a little rant here. So I'm a Jazz fan by default now because of Donovan Mitchell, Louisville Cardinals. And Jazz fans are known to be assholes and possibly borderline racist assholes. So they're just terrible people. But yeah, Jazz, which is crazy because they're all like half of them are Mormons and like it's weird.
No, it's wild.
And, like, but they're just Jazz fans aren't good people. So it's not surprising the whole pizza thing. But I don't know if it was the pizza. The guy who came out apparently a guy came out and said he delivered the pizza, and he was like I'm a big MJ, big Jordan fan. That's why I delivered it. I actually named my son MJ. And so who knows? People get food poisoning. It also could have been something he ate earlier in the day. There's supposedly been
yeah, I mean,
some other theories.
I heard something about wine. I got nothing to really back that up. I mean, it was crazy. Jordan, like, talking about, like, smoking cigars and drinking beers. Like, I couldn't tell if he was joking or not.
Like, I mean, the guy was smoking cigars, like, on a weekday for a game. So, it's just, like, it's funny. He's not the healthiest individual. I mean, hopefully, right now. But, yeah, it could be a combination of things. But I knew it was food poisoning, but I just remember watching that game, and I remember watching it with my parents, and, like, I think my dad was like, he gonna die, like, because it looked, like, bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, whether it was the flu or food poisoning, it doesn't really take away. I mean, you just saw how banged up he was, and, I mean, to me, the one image that, you know, has always been in my head is where he's just, like, holding on to Scottie Pippen.
And yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's just like an iconic image, and even Pippen says it. He went down and he found something deep within. And I mean, that's why he was Michael Jordan. He had the heart, you know. Not to sound corny, he had the heart of a champion.
Yeah, I mean, we've all played sports, and I played hungover, played like soccer or something hungover. And granted, it's no comparison to what Michael Jordan did. But when you are sick, and you are hungover. I remember two times I was hungover. I played soccer. I scored two goals. When I was a kid, I had like 100 degree temperature, and I played a basketball game. I was like in sixth grade, and I played really well. Like it's just like you know you're not up to it, so you know you dig deeper. And this is like no comparison at all, but like just from like a random asshole guy like me, like it's like for anybody, you just kind of just you dig down because you know you have to. Overcompensate for how you're feeling at the time.
Yeah, no, you say hungover. I think going to baseball, the David Wells perfect game when he was hungover. But I mean, it was just one of the things that made MJ a legend. And I mean, to be honest with you, not to throw shade at it, but it's not. I've always thought when you're injured, it's way worse than being sick. Like to me, you never even hear Pippen. The Pippen thing referenced, I mean, fast forward a little bit. The guy, that was just painful to watch even.
With the back?
Yeah, like, yeah. I would much rather be sick than play with, like a bad back, or something like that. But not to take away from, I mean, one of the most iconic moments in the history of sports, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we don't give him enough credit. I mean, I know Pippen was getting torn into during a Pistons series with the migraine because he had a migraine. Even Jordan's like, "Come on, I never had a migraine like that. Maybe once I did, but I know people who get migraines all the time, and like they just it's like imagine
yeah,
having
no,
to do that. You got to play.
That's a great point. But we'll be back to talk about continue to talk about the Bulls Jazz. This is Overtime with Mac and Trey. All right, welcome back to Overtime with Mac and Trey. We're talking about the Last Dance and talking about the Bulls Jazz, the first time they met, and Steve Kerr hitting the big shot. It was really neat to see Steve Kerr and to, to hear about his background. Had you known the Steve Kerr story, Trey?
So I knew a little bit about a little bit. I thought his dad, I didn't know he was teaching at an American university in Beirut. I thought he was like a diplomat, but I knew he had gotten assassinated. I didn't know how he got assassinated, but yeah, it was crazy to have him like retell the story and stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you, you know, I had heard he was assassinated, but to hear him talk about it, to hear his mom talk about it was just, you know, moving and powerful stuff. And, and I love the parts, I'll be ready. And you know, Jordan throws it over to him and he hits the jumper. And then you see Steve Kerr at the podium when they're celebrating the championship, making jokes. I mean, I think they could make a documentary on Steve Kerr.
They could. He's a great coach. You know, he's been given a really good. He's been put in a really great situation. So luckily, he didn't go to the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say that, and I mean, you know, as a LeBron fan, that's somebody he's competed with, you know, a bunch of times over the years. But, you know, nothing but love for Steve Kerr. You know, even my fiance, who, you know, she just started watching basketball. I mean, every time Steve Kerr says something, she, you know, wow, he's a really good coach.
it's funny you brought up the Grant Park celebrations. And as a kid, I remember I watched all of those. I remember it was because I said before, we had TBS and WGN. We didn't even have a YES Network then. At least not in Rochester, we didn't. So I used to see, so I was like a Braves fan and like a Bulls fan. And I used to watch the
Braves fan.
Yeah. So I used to watch I watched all the Bulls games. I remember watching the celebrations at Grant Park and WGN. It was great. Nice. So this whole thing has been great memories.
Yeah, no, trip down memory lane. And then we get to Bulls Jazz too. Then, you know, Jazz come back better than ever. And they split the first two games. I forgot about game three being such a bloodbath. I mean, only scoring 54 points. They really put them on him there.
Yeah, I remember a little bit about that. But yeah, it was surprising to see again.
And then that was the series where Rodman goes to WWE in the, or I guess it might have been WWF at that point.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Yeah, like
in the documentary, him leaving, but I mean NBA Finals, the guy's busting chairs over people's backs.
It's like, what are you doing? And then like the next game, like it doesn't affect him. He just goes in. He I remember him shooting free throws, like he just like didn't care and just like throws the ball and he's like hitting free throws and it, like didn't affect him, and that just. You have to have a special coach to deal with that. And you gotta to not just flip out. And you gotta have Jordan there. But I think mostly it's more of a testament to Phil Jackson being not only a good coach, but maybe even a better people manager. Like managing like personalities, like he did it at the Lakers. He started with the Bulls. Like he's just like such a great manager of this people's minds, and that kind of goes back to how he grew up, and like he was a hippie, and he was like kind of like into alternative like medicine, alternative stuff. But I feel like a lot of that stuff helped him just develop his players mentally, and for him to just to be able to deal with like somebody like Dennis Rodman pulling some of those antics.
I mean, he could have let his ego get in the way and, you know, not played him, but he did the right thing to play him, and, you know, Rodman was ready to go, and it's tough. I mean, you see the other side of the art. I mean, for some reason, I think to the Super Bowl with the Patriots with Malcolm Butler, where Belichick just like doesn't even play him. And it's like, yeah. On one hand, that may have cost them the game, not having, you know, a top corner in there. But on the other hand, that was kind of who he was, you know, a disciplinarian, and that's kind of who Phil Jackson was. He was just kind of like a laid back guy. And
but I think we all can agree when the Patriots lose, it's a good day.
So. Oh, it's a great day when the Patriots lose. Great day.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah, hopefully we have a lot of that. But you know, that was a classic series, and then you know, what a last memory for Jordan in that final game, huh?
Yeah, no, that was that final game, and it's weird because I remember like certain points where I knew where I was at during that game, and I think I was just watching the game in my room, so I guess I do remember where I was at. Did a little bit of a push off, a little bit, but to Bryant Russell, he was moving into the direction. Jordan just kind of just helped him, guided him a little bit. But
like a
Maynard D. Yeah, I don't like it's by, yeah, like a Maynard D, as Bob Costas said. I don't think it's a foul. The Reggie Miller thing was a foul. But
yeah, no, I'm with you. Exactly. The Reggie Miller thing was egregious. The push off was that's basketball right there.
Yeah,
I
just forgot how much I didn't realize how much of a I do remember how much of I remember then I forgot, but then I'm like, oh yeah, how much of a slugfest it was. It was like backs and forwards. You had like I don't know if it was this game or the game before that, but Rodman and Malone just Rodman's hitting Malone. And then I remember watching that, and they're just like falling. Yes. They fall like three times. Then Malone slaps him in the ass, and he's like, "Oh!" He like looks back at him, like that just benches Rodman. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. That's like that is vintage.
Like today, that's a flagrant two. people getting thrown out. Like, it doesn't. It's crazy.
Oh, they weren't putting up with any of that.
And then the Malone steal. I remember that when Stockton cleared out, but he didn't clear out soon enough, and then Jordan doubled back and got to steal Malone. That set the shot up for Jordan at the end. It was good to relive that. And how about the Leonardo DiCaprio appearance? Randomly, yeah,
where did that come from? I thought that was, sometimes you just get your ears messed up. I thought that was maybe before his time, but
it's wild. Huh? That was like, I think Jordan said they were watching the Three Musketeers or something. But yeah, Lee, I mean, I'm with whatever Leo DiCaprio, but like that was cool to see yeah. him.
No, it was you mentioned like where you were. I thought it was kind of cool listening to his two kids talking about, you know. I guess they hadn't come out to Utah, and they were in the basement. I mean, just think about how much, you know, you were into this. You know, how much, I mean, can you imagine in their situation? You know, that must have been unbelievable. Your dad is, you know, on TV. They must have been living and dying with everything in that moment.
Yeah, I know they had Jasmine Jordan. I think she went to Syracuse and dated, I think, Brandon Treach, I think, at one point. And Marcus Jordan. No, I may have mentioned this in another pod that we did, but we
UCF.
Yeah, I went to UCF. I spent some time in Orlando. Saw a game between UCF and Florida at Amway Center. Great game, and it was the UCF actually beat Florida, and he just went off. He was always just like he was okay player, wasn't like, which is crazy because. You see, like, LeBron James' son, more LeBron James talk. LeBron James' son's going to be good. But, like, Marcus Jordan's like, you know. But he actually went off that game. I think he had 18, 20 points. He played well.
Yeah, so they, you know, that was cool getting to see them. And, you know, they close out the documentary. How cool was the part where Phil Jackson has the team write something about what the Bulls had meant to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, vintage, once again, talking vintage Robin and vintage Phil Jackson.
I want to use that one day. I'm not quite in a leadership position, but like when I want to use that for something. Cause if I ever coach like my son or daughter's teams, I don't know. Like it's my future son or daughter. It's like a great like mental exercise, I think.
No, absolutely. And, That was a great way, and just and we mentioned this before. Just watching Jordan and getting to see behind the scenes with him, it was unbelievable and such a great documentary from start to finish.
Yeah, and it's kind of just reminds people I have here like the impact of the Bulls in the NBA, just how much the Bulls like they changed the NBA. It happened like during the middle of when. David Stern was pushing the globalization of the league, which is even better, it's not even comparable now, like how it was then. Like now, like it's, like I said before.
Yeah, you got a lot more, the European influx. Back then it was a few here and there. Now it's a quarter of the league.
Yeah, like now it's, like as a world sports, it's soccer, and to me it's basketball also. Like people, basketball's second. So
it's moved into that role as the second. I wonder if it could ever overtake soccer. I don't know.
But I don't think so.
Probably not. But it's moved into that second role.
Yeah, just the impact. And people always, like, even now with like the super teams, quote unquote, and people saying, getting annoyed by that and about the dynasties. And the NBA has always been dynasties. Like you always had the Celtics. You had the Celtics. You had the Lakers. You had the Bulls. You had the Lakers again, then the Spurs won a couple, and like that's how the NBA, that's how the league is set up. So like this is like nothing new. And the Warriors were doing their thing, the Heat were doing their thing. I guess something's new is maybe the super teams, but you can maybe argue that's not really a thing either.
I just think it's I think in the past, you know, whether it's this Bulls team or whether it's the Lakers team or whether it's the Celtics team, just a little more organically, where it just kind of we talked about Jerry Krause being a douchebag, but you know the guy, he helped put together a great team.
He deserves the credit. He was terrible personality, like terrible, but he does deserve credit
Yeah, you got to give him credit. I mean, yeah. If you look at Jordan, I mean, Jordan rubbed people the wrong ways and could be abrasive, but at the end of the day, it didn't matter because Jordan won. And, you know, Krause was a douchebag. And I think the thing is they could have won more if it wasn't – if his personality was different, they could have won more. So that is the caveat, but –
That was interesting.
You know, he also put together such a great team.
It was interesting.
So many great moves.
Yeah, it was interesting about at the end when Reinsdorf was like, oh, we wanted to basically rebuild. And Jordan's like, we would have stayed and played again. I could have got Pippen to go. And then I guess Reinsdorf went back and said something in the media a couple days ago, like, Jordan knows he said the opposite behind closed doors. Not going to stay. So I don't know. But said this before. I feel like again, that was the next season was a lockout, and they probably could have won I mean, the Knicks fucking went to the finals of the eighth seed.
Yeah.
So they
could have at least gotten to the finals.
They could have at least gotten to the finals, and they would have been healthy because half the season was gone anyway. Yeah, they definitely easily would have won another championship. Now, after that, that's another story. But. And the rebuild is still happening. They got Derrick Rose, which is great, and then
they had some good teams, but the rebuild was a debacle. I mean, whoever decided to pair Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry, I mean,
idiots, the baby bulls. Oh my god,
yeah, that was horrible.
And Tim Floyd, he finally got Tim Floyd, Cross finally got Tim Floyd to coach for him. It worked out well.
Exactly. So, I mean, one thing I'm thinking of, like, what other documentaries right off the top of my head, you know, Kobe.
Gotta do a Kobe one.
Gotta do a Kobe one.
I don't know, but you gotta do a Kobe one, but I don't know. One just on Kobe or one on – I feel like a Lakers one is, like, kind of due now. But, like, Kobe one is still a little fresh. But, I mean, yeah, people would eat it up, though, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I think a Kobe one, and you know, I mean, a lot of great teams, a lot of good stuff. So hopefully we get another one of these. Hopefully we get some real sports back.
Yeah, yeah, and people might get annoyed, but I always bring up Louisville. But that's gonna be a documentary. That's gonna happen. How Louisville?
What on the Rick Pitino?
How everything went Niners. To shit. The first college football. What'd you say? What was that? I missed that last part.
Rick Pitino going into restaurants.
Oh yeah, Karen Seif. Yeah, well. But I feel like that's perfect documentary. The first best NCAA team to get their banner taken down, and then go through. But they gotta win a championship. I mean, I feel like that's like five, 7 years down the road when this documentary will happen. But I think it's gonna be a pretty good one.
Yeah, no. As a LeBron fan, I you know of course I got to think about you know I feel like that. He's got a potential good one, you know, whether it's the, you know, him in high school, you know, playing on ESPN and pay-per-view, the Cavs run, the decision, the Heat.
Yeah.
The Cavs run again. Oh, yeah. You know, no. The Lakers, so. This is going to be tough to top, though.
Yeah, but just on our end, for podcast-wise, I'm looking forward to exploring other subjects and – But this has been a treat, man. It's been great.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's been great. So we've enjoyed it. Overtime with Mac and Trey. Till next time, we'll see you later.
All right, see you guys later.